This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. Dave is off today. We appreciate you joining us, actually. Your noon hour, we're with you every noon to one, every weekdays to talk about local issues primarily. Every now and then we stray, but we want to talk about what's important to the Willamette Valley, Marion and Polk counties, and Salem and Kaiser. And we have the good fortune, again, this Tuesday to have Mayor Chuck Bennett in the studio to talk about some of the things going on with the city and some of the efforts he's involved with. So thank you for joining us,
well,
Chuck.
Thank you very
Mayor
much,
Chuck.
Brad.
It's nice to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So one of the things I was talking about last week that I was telling, hey, we're going to have to ask the mayor about that, is your efforts in helping getting funding for a sobering center. And actually, I was praising the effort and as an effort to find an alternative to sending people to jail, sending people to the emergency room, and that being fiscally responsible and socially responsible.
Yeah, it's it is an issue that has been kind of floating around the city for a number of years. I think, boy, and it's far enough back, I don't remember specifically. They may well have had a sobering center or a sobering facility at some point, but it has been a long time ago. So beginning a couple of years ago, when I started my first term, I began work on this and went to the legislature primarily looking for assistance in the capital costs, how to pay for the actual facility itself, which is a fairly complicated. It isn't kind of the old classic drunk tank idea. These are medical facilities that deal with people who are in really a helpless condition. I mean, these are folks who are passed out on the sidewalk, in the street. They really are vulnerable, and we want to get them into a situation where they be able to sober up, be able then to kind of maybe take stock on what's happening to them. You know, have you hit bottom yet? Is it is this the life you want to lead? And so we've contracted or planning to contract with Bridgeway, which is a local recovery center program, a whole range of programs. And we are working with them on what the program would look like in that in the sobering center. You need to have a medical model because people can be also it can be life-threatening in terms of drug and alcohol withdrawal. So we need to have a medical model. Bridgeway is able to deal with that. And then as folks begin to kind of get their stuff together, another step might be recovery, and Bridgeway also offers that kind of recovery mode. So we're working on that with them. What has been probably the most difficult at this point, getting the initial funding was hard work, thanks to Arches and their willingness to house the program at Mid-Willamette Valley Community Action Agency. We have the location. It's sort of down across Union Street from Marion Square Park. We need to figure out how to pay for it. Right now, the number that is floating around is about a $900,000 a year program, and we have been working with a number of partners: Salem Hospital, Marion County. The Salem Hospital has the emergency room where a lot of these folks are currently being taken, and Marion County has the jail where the other folks are being taken.
Indeed.
And so we're working with them looking for a, sort of a contribution to avoid the high cost of emergency room use and really dealing with the overcrowding at the jail being taken up by folks who are just recovering from an alcohol or drug binge. And We now have the state of Oregon. We have a bill that's up actually today. I'm going to be going to testify on it with Deputy Chief Skip Miller representing the police chiefs as well as the Sheriff's Association. They're looking at a matching program, sort of a you raise X, we'll match you kind of dollars. We're real hopeful that might be a bill that moves forward. It's being sponsored by Representative Stark of Medford. He's the chief sponsor, but it'll be in front of the, whatever it's called now, Human Resources Committee. We have a couple of local legislators on that committee, Denise Bowles and Teresa Alonzo León. And so we figure we'll have at least an interested reception.
Well, good.
Looking forward to it.
We're really talking about two different piles of money, right? We're talking a stream of revenue for operations, but we're also talking about facility costs, right?
The facility costs, I think we're in reasonably good shape on that. It really is that ongoing operating cost. It's always a challenge when you're raising money. The most probably in this kind of facility, the most likely money that you get comes for the facility, that capital permanent cost that, you know, it's there, you can count on. What is difficult to raise is the annual operating cost. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking for additional support, we hope, from the hospital, from Marion County, as well as from the city of Salem. All of us benefit. We haven't had a chance to really talk with Polk County yet, but we're putting together the funding, and also the city manager is working closely with Bridgeway to try to get the costs as tight as possible so that we have a real good predictor of what the future looks like as well.
All right, let's draw a flow chart so we understand how people go from wherever they are and in through the program. So we're perhaps getting a first responder call for somebody?
Be a first responder, usually, or a call to the police.
Okay.
And they're first responders, too, I guess. But it'll be either a fire police, and it'll be that someone's in deep trouble.
Okay, is this... they're in deep trouble. Could they be in a public place on the streets, in a home, any of those places, or it's primarily about people on the streets?
They would most likely be on a public street, public sidewalk.
Okay. So when they go into the center, are they going willingly? Or maybe some of them are too incoherent to know.
They're too incoherent to know.
Wow. All right.
These are people in real trouble. I mean, this isn't your kind of staggering around. It might be at some point, but... where somebody really is mobile. This is often a person laying on the sidewalk, laying in the street, very vulnerable. And this is how I've had it described to me, and that it's really trying to protect them because they are so deeply incapacitated.
Right. All right. So once there, and they come, you know, to some semblance of senses, either from coming down off a bender or a drug potentially, you know, near overdose, what are their options there? I mean, do they have to stay for treatment, or they can just go, oh, I'm out of here?
No, they can go, I'm out of here. They can, certainly can leave. It's not a jail. It's not a jail. I think that's the main thing to understand. It's not a full-blown law enforcement model. You can't compel somebody to go into treatment without adjudication and other things coming into play. So when they're sober enough to really be responsible for themselves, they're more than welcome to leave. Bridgeway will offer them the opportunity to look at an alternative treatment, whether in sort of in-house or outpatient, inpatient or outpatient. And Those are the kinds of opportunities that we hope folks will take. If you're in so much trouble, you're in a sobering center. Mm-hmm. You have put yourself and others in real jeopardy.
All right. There's a bunch of other things going on in the city. We'll wrap this up after the break and talk a little bit about the budget process and the bridge and some of the things happening in our renewal area. So you're listening to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. Dave is off today, so stick with us. We're on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart on this snow catastrophe day. We did have, I think, a full inch maybe in some areas. So I'm somewhat laughing about having television preempted for coverage. And they're just searching and searching this morning for things to talk about having to do with the 1 inch of snow they got in Portland. Anyway, whole other topic. So welcome back to Newsmakers. We're talking about things having to do with the city and the city council with our guest, Mayor Chuck Bennett. Of the city of Salem. So just to wrap up, we were talking about the sobering centers. He's going to go to the Capitol this afternoon and ask for some money for support for this program and a bill, get people off the street that are in a world of hurt and needing some services that other than going to jail, really, some services perhaps in at least a less expensive manner than just going to an emergency center. Anyway, so great initiative. So they go in, and Bridgeway, you hope to be managing it.
Yeah. At this point, that's who we're.
Do they have the resources? I mean, this need is so great in our community, and recovery and addiction services are so great. It's a lot of times it's hard to get into programs like this. Yeah. So if they've got the capacity to help these people and offer them services, so that's two questions, I guess. Are you familiar with? Do they have the capacity to do it? And two, how does it end up that end up getting funded once the individual decides to go that route?
Well, as much as I know about it, they do have the capacity. They have stepped up and said, this is a program we can manage, and have given the city an explanation and the group that's putting this together how that would work. And there's funding involved. I mean, they, at around $900,000 a year, you can put the program on. You have to have a 24-hour presence, at least one, as I understand it, one health worker and one sort of assistant have to be present. This is a health crisis. I mean, people do die sobering up. So you've got to have that in place, which is part of why the emergency room has been used over the years.
So the health professional, and they would also be in a position to make the call of whether or not it was more serious than that and they needed to go to a hospital.
Yeah, they thought there was, and that would be the other thing, the person could appropriately get them into the hospital. They can still go to the hospital. I mean, this is a situation where they're picked up by, like you say, full first responders, probably most commonly the police, where do you take them? And this would be a first stop along the way. The other is if they choose to go into recovery, well, there are a lot of health insurance, employer-paid health insurance, et cetera, cover this kind of treatment. It's also can be paid for in other ways. I assume Medicaid or some of the other government programs cover it. I'm really not sure how it's covered, but a lot of health insurance does cover it.
Those things have gotten beefed up over the years where they used to treat mental health differently. Brain health really is more an accurate description, differently than, our flesh and bones and our organs and what have you.
Yeah.
Frankly, as a family, an extended family that has that mental health has been an issue and touched us deeply in our extended family. I'm supportive of that, that, you know, if there's insurance coverage, they should be covering these kinds of conditions. Anyway,
yeah.
All right. So one more shout out to Arches and Community Action Agency, because they're working on this. They're working on the feeding the homeless. They're working on, of course, the warming center as well.
Yeah.
On days when it reaches into the 20s, for goodness sakes, you'd hate to be outside all night.
It's an outstanding organization. We ought to be really, really pleased to have them in the community. Their new executive director, Jimmy Jones, is probably the single most expert person in Salem on the homeless, both as individuals, but as an issue to be dealt with by the community, by nonprofits, by the religious community, all of those pieces. He is a really quite a remarkable person. I recommend him to you if you haven't had him on.
Okay, well, and since we're talking about spending money, let's talk a little bit about the budget process. I'm going to completely switch gears on you, Mayor.
Okay.
The budget process, I know we're going to go into that, and your budget runs July 1st to July 1st.
Right.
So you're going through a process where it's the budget is prepared by a department head, it's reviewed by the city manager, presented to the councilors, and the councilors and the mayor have to approve the city budget.
That's pretty much it. It does go through a citizens budget committee, which is made up of the city council and residents from each of the wards and one person citywide. So essentially, it's half council, half public participation. We're filling a couple of empty spots right now on the budget committee. It's a real commitment of time during April and May. You're looking at about four or five pretty lengthy meetings on Wednesday evenings to go over the budget. The budget will be presented in April by the city manager. He is currently collecting, like you said, proposals from his department heads and going through them and kind of putting it together. And he will present it to us in April, and we will then go from there. The budget is aligned with, or in part aligned with, our policies and goals that are adopted annually now by the city council. And so there will be explained in terms of those policies and goals and how they meet them. The budget looks pretty much as it did when you were on the city council as well. I mean, it's primarily to pay people. The big cost to any government agency is the people who work for the agency. And then it's the cost of paper and pencils and pens and equipment and gas and, you know, cars in some cases, for the police, a whole range of other costs.
And the revenues.
And that's just in the, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say the revenues is something a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah.
In terms of the property tax, which all of us pay a nice hefty property tax if we own any property in the city. it's still the case that if we took every dollar of property tax, does doesn't even cover police and fire's budget?
No. No, it still doesn't.
All right, let's say that again. So you think the property tax is high and it's paying for everything. We have to think about the city services. So the city's paying for, you know, some road maintenance and in the library and some community services, right? And public safety, of course, is a huge one. Planning department, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Water and sewer.
Parks and
all
library.
Those things. But the general fund, the fund that they actually have discretion over that comes from property taxes, that does not cover the cost of our police department and our fire department.
Yeah.
I think that surprises a lot of people.
And that, when you think about it, it is short on covering police and fire. Then you have to add on to that in the general fund, the library, the parks, some of the basic services, keeping track of code enforcement. If you have a bunch of garbage dumped in your neighborhood, you'll call the city to come take care of it. We do street cleaning. We do some other stuff. But it just doesn't cover it. The total city budget is really quite large. It's over $400 million. The vast majority of that is used on streets, water, sewer, the basic services people expect. The general fund, which are the police, fire, library, parks, that kind of stuff, is around $120 to $140 million of the total. So it is the part people think of when they think of the city, but it isn't the largest chunk of this. It's really utilities are the largest chunk of the city budget.
And that's usually that's funded by our water and sewers, which
water sewer
people
bill,
pay
yep.
the water sewer bill. And that's a different fund. And fortunately, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, you know, we don't trust our government extraordinarily much. but we put silos, we put walls between the money that's coming in water and sewer.
Oh, yeah.
Can't be used for parks. It can't be used for roads. It can't
which
be
is
used
a
for
good
human
thing.
Services. So we have these silos, and the same thing is true. Another big source, because you're also overseeing the housing authority, and
yeah.
most of those funds are federal funds and
That's
housing
right.
funds and housing and urban development funds.
And then urban renewal, which is a whole nother fund.
It's a whole nother show in itself.
Yeah, that's a whole separate deal, but that also is part of the city's program. It's a very interesting and actually fairly complicated thing to dive into, but I have found it over the years. I've been involved with it for about 20 years. I find it incredibly interesting. I mean, thank
you
goodness,
have a personality
I guess there's
disorder.
People like me. Who find that interesting.
Unless you're a government junkie. A lot of these things are foreign to you.
Yeah.
I do too, Chuck. We share the same disease. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Yes, we will get to the bridge. I know you're screaming, what's the mayor going to say about the meeting next week? So stay with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart for Newsmakers. Dave Bourne is off today, but fortunately I have in the studio here Mayor of Salem. We have Chuck Bennett for me to talk to today. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back,
Thank
Mayor. We're talking about the budget a little bit. It's a little premature because you guys haven't seen it yet, but I think it's really important for people to understand how things get funded. And a lot of times, and we were talking about during the break, people are like, well, why don't you spend this money on that?
Yeah.
And you really can't. One of the, and we talked about, you know, the housing authority and helping people with housing, that whole Section 8 plan. It goes through the housing authority of the city of Salem, and the city, Salem City Council does get to oversee that, but it's not really money you can take and go spend on parks.
That's right.
And the same with water and sewer money. It's a water sewer fund to pay for that infrastructure and the upkeep and the services. And also the airport. And the airport's a big part of the city, and it has its own fund, and it's self-sustaining. And that's another thing where people are like, well, why does the city spend money at the airport? Well, they don't. The airport actually not only supports its own with its own revenue, but does actually contribute to the general fund in some cost sharing. And so all of those things. And people are like, well, what about, you know, why not pay for this with this money? And it just can't be done that way.
Yeah, it's. I think for anyone who gets real involved in city government, and certainly if you end up as mayor of the city, probably that's one of the frustrations is trying to explain. You spend a lot of time explaining the city and how the city operates, and I think a lot of folks sort of are. I can see it in their eyes; they're kind of incredulous, like you got to be making this up, pal, and. No, I'm really not. It really does have, as you describe, silos of funding, individual enterprise funds that are associated with specific projects, bond proceeds that are tied up with streets and can't be used any other way, or tied up in buying fire equipment and can be used no other way.
Indeed.
It's there's a lot of that that goes on.
And
it's
urban
why
renewal.
I think it were and urban renewal and very specific.
We'll be talking to you about that. We'll try to get the education out about
how
that works.
How that does work. That'll be fun to talk about.
Do you see any cuts in the programs that people are expecting now, the current service levels, those dreaded words, current service levels is how we budget, typically governance budgets. Should people be prepared to have less maintenance parks, less development parks, less library, fewer library hours. Do you see any of that coming this year?
I don't think so this year. I think when we look into out years, we grow generally a good year, and it'll happen over time. For city revenue is about a 3% growth. That's essentially the legal limit of what can happen with property taxes. And if we're growing at 3%, we tend to be on a fairly even keel. That went down for a number of years, as you'll recall. And so we closed a couple of fire stations. We didn't fill a number of police positions. I think we at one point had 9 open jobs there. The result of that was we've been able to maintain a pretty healthy cash balance on the budget, which allows us not to borrow money on the months we're running out of
cash flow.
Property tax. It's a cash flow issue. And it also keeps our bond rating extremely good. This city is a very, very well-respected bonding agent. We do well out in the marketplace. So those things are coming up. And the result is we're looking, I think the council will be asked to look at a couple of revenue options to see if there's any interest in raising some additional revenue outside the property tax. One is a surcharge on utility bills. It's just a straight across the board. Everybody gets a bill for $12 on their utility bill. Real popular idea.
I bet that is.
I think they recalled the council in Almsville for doing it without a vote. And then the other one is...
is it excise tax? That was thought of. Has that been dismissed?
It's a payroll tax. Thank you. It's a payroll tax paid by employees. And that one, employees are just now getting hit by a payroll tax to support transit and some other issues are paying.
We're saying payroll tax, but we really mean income tax, right?
Well, it's a small amount levied against everybody's payroll. It doesn't have the progressivity. It has a little progressivity, but doesn't have the full progressivity of an income tax. It's more a little closer to everybody pays something.
And you know, there's going to be somebody out there that says, "Well, this is the one opportunity to get some sort of tax out of people who are living out of town and working at the Capitol Mall."
That was the huge attraction, was that it did hit the 10,000-15,000 people who work from out of town who come in to work each day, use our streets, use our police, fire, all the rest of the
that's
available
a possibility
services potentially
for revenue. And I think what I was referring to is a construction excise tax that was considered, but I think it was dismissed.
Yeah, no, that doesn't raise the kind of money we have in Salem. What are called system development charges, which really take the place of a construction excise tax. I've seen that in action in school districts, and it is it's kind of annoying, and it doesn't raise much money. It's kind of, if you're going to annoy people, I guess you ought to probably make it worthwhile. I have advocated real strongly that if any of these move forward, they should go to the voters. I really think we should ask the voters. There also is a proposal coming to council for a local gas tax. And I think these are the kind of things that I don't think city councils really ought to try to just enact and say you're going to pay a tax. I think you really have to go to the voters and ask them politely,
so
do
Mayor,
you want to pay more money?
I appreciate that, and I'm with you. Do you think you're going to win that vote? If a vote were taken, is like, are we going to go to the voters, or are we just going to pass it?
I'm hopeful we'll go to the voters. I don't know. I know there are counselors who would like to look at other taxes. They're not... This was recommended by a fairly large revenue task force made up of citizens, primarily really very knowledgeable citizens, and they turned down a whole batch of different ideas. I think some of them will attract attention on for members of the city council who may be interested in different types, maybe an income tax, maybe a sales tax, maybe an excise tax, maybe a, you know, whatever is their interest. So I think there'll be some pretty spirited discussion. I cannot believe they would make the mistake of enacting a tax without going to the voters in this community. I think it would run so contrary to the way we've done things here. It would surprise me.
Well, we can just make they can make more unhappy citizens. They should, talking about some of the same people.
They do surprise me at times.
Who don't want to build any transportation infrastructure. So, well, we have a few minutes this segment. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, the work session, we've talked about on the show this last
week.
We held off a lot until you were here, actually.
Thanks.
The 11th, on Monday, there'll be a vote.
Yes.
Any insight that people should expect?
Well, I think I really think the vote will be pretty much a what would be a build the bridge, go ahead, complete the environmental impact statement, and be prepared over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years to use that environmental impact statement as the basis to deal with river crossing infrastructure at that location. Essentially, it's location sensitive. It doesn't have much to do with what the bridge looks like, what the bridge costs. It just sets up a kind of scope of opportunity, you know, that you can do to deal with it. But I don't know that. I think that'll be the question, or what's called no build, and that says we will somehow deal with 20% growth rate in this city over the next 20 years without an additional river crossing, and use other means and maybe outline what those might look like. It'll be something like that. What I think it can't be and be responsible is sort of a we don't want to vote on this kind of thing. I know there are counselors who would rather not be confronted with this decision, but
because they're going to go down in history, the people that disadvantaged to the entire region.
I think back to the 70s when I saw the first round of bridge proposal for me, for my generation, on Mission Street, and that it was finally, and probably it could be appropriately so, I wasn't that close, but it was abandoned. And I kind of look back on a couple of generations saying, you idiots.
Yeah.
I don't care where you put it, but you should have done it. And they didn't.
I wonder if you were here when I was mentioning in Los Angeles, I was reading the Los Angeles Times, and this was 25 plus years ago, and they had not yet built a subway system.
Yeah.
But in the Los Angeles Times, the article was basically saying they were adding it up. They had spent enough on studies since like 1960 or maybe late 50s. They'd spent enough on studies in 30 years to have built three systems.
Is that right?
But they couldn't make a decision, and they just had to listen to somebody's always going to not like it, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't move forward.
There's a bill up that's extending, and now I don't know whether it's the little train or the buses, but essentially extending TriMet down to Salem that I think will draw some real interest as our local press begins to figure out that bill's there.
Let's continue to talk about that on another show.
Okay, sorry.
it's actually a really interesting topic. One of the reasons we don't have light rail up the corridor from Eugene to Vancouver, Washington, is we don't have a sales tax, because that's how other states and other regions do this. Whole other topic. But back to Monday, will there be public people there? It's not a public hearing, right? So do you anticipate a big turnout?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think we'll have a huge turnout. I think we'll be using overflow. I'm still sort of planning on how to do this. We really need to vote on Monday. What I don't want to see happen is just be totally overwhelmed by public comment, which precludes a vote. Because it's really essential we get this taken care of. I haven't seen a lot of movement among councilors toward one side or away from the other or any of that. But I think it really is time to reach a decision. But I fully expect, I'm told, really look for a couple hundred people to show up, right, which is a big crowd for us.
All right. So we have a counselor, Chris Hoy.
Yeah.
Right? And a couple months ago when they put the delaying tactic in for them to have the work session and the vote kicked into January, oh boy, we're going to run out of time here. But he was silent through this whole thing, and then there was some discussion, and all the people were testifying public. Anyway, at some point, and you had said something that set him off, he says, I feel as though our intentions have been impugned. And, well, he hadn't said anything. He hadn't said how he was feeling about the matter. He hadn't gone on record. He hadn't said anything during the meeting. So how are you impugning his position? And what he exposed himself in doing that, he came to the meeting, the strategy had been decided, the vote had been decided, this is the tool, the delaying tactic we're going to use, and this and that. It was so obvious to me that this gentleman did not listen to anybody coming to city council. He didn't come to listen to one citizen. He wasn't willing to listen to one citizen because his intentions, whether be impugned or not, had already been set, and he was just biding his time until he could vote against the public will. That's my soapbox.
Okay.
But we do have to break. We do have a break. We'll have a few more minutes. Hey, stick with us. We're talking local stuff here on Newsmakers. 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Thank you, and welcome back to News by the Anchors. We appreciate you spending your noon hour with us and learning, hopefully, a few things about city governance and the topics that are going to affect us, affect you and your pocketbook, your quality of life, affect people on the street, affect people who own property, everything. And we've got Mayor Chuck Bennett here in the studios to talk with us again on Tuesday. We're talking about the budget and the budget process, and doesn't look like too many dramatic cuts this year. And also, we kind of skimped by it, but there are a couple of openings on the Citizen Budget Committee.
Yes.
So you can go to thecityofsalem.net, and we've talked about this in previous shows about how you can volunteer to be on a board and commission.
Yeah,
we have, please still have like
do.
19 of them.
Oh.
And it's everything from senior center to traffic to parks to airport and the whole nine yards. So
yeah, it's great.
If you have a passion for a library, I kind of mentioned the library. A passion for some things, and you want to be involved and informed and help our government run pragmatically, then please sign up. If you want to be emotional and irrational, please do not sign up. Right? So anything else other than the bridge?
You're helping me too much here.
Other than the bridge issue that will take a lot of people talking and take a long time on Monday night, are there other agenda items that we really should have our eye on?
None that I can think of off the top of my head. That really is going to dominate the meeting. I think we may do some appointing. You'd mentioned apply. You should apply anytime for any of our boards and commissions. I think we're filling a budget committee perhaps on Monday. Last week we filled a planning commission slot. I do want to alert people to a couple of things as they're watching for city events going on. I hope you're watching on the city website, but we're taking a look at the rules around siting multiple unit housing mm-hmm. in the community. I think people will be interested in that. We're looking at language that says you can site a duplex, triplex, fourplex on a lot in the middle of the neighborhood, and kind of looking at some design and siting standards. I think people will be real interested, either positively or negatively, in how that proceeds. And then we're just beginning work on redoing the city's comprehensive plan, which hasn't been done in almost 40 years. So it's time to do it. We've done some changes piecemeal over the years. This will be the first about 2-year project go through of the city comprehensive plan. This really sets up what growth is going to look like, what transportation is going to look like, what where will parks be. Where it's a real look at how this community is going to look over the next generally, you look at them for 20 years, but the last one's been 40. So I think it's something, if you have a chance to engage in it, I really would recommend doing it. A lot of people talk to me about kind of what's your vision of the city. Well, it isn't my vision. It's the community's vision under our system of land use planning. At least what will it look like in terms of buildings and streets and sidewalks and things like that.
And what a lot of people don't understand, and actually some councilors don't understand, is some of these things are dictated by state law.
Oh, yeah.
How much housing inventory do you have?
You know.
And there's some things going on at the legislature about zoning and having multifamily or, you know, like you're saying, duplex, fourplexes. And will you have a zone that is only single family structures? So a lot of those things, yeah. But growth... that's going to be, we're going to leave that up to some people who decide to have babies or not have babies, right?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Employers.
But we also have a lot of people coming in. A lot of people would like to live in Salem, Oregon.
Indeed. And we've seen a broadening of the employment base. So that's going to attract people because there are jobs here. So that's really great. So there's a couple other topics. And we hope to have the mayor on every week that he's available and take a little bit of his time. One, I want to say thank you for your time.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just for the listeners here at KYKN and helping explain government and give them a heads up on things they need to watch, but also the time you spend being mayor because you're not paid. That's another thing that
that's a lot
of people... Next week, we're going to double your pay. And it's a volunteer position, so I want to thank you for your volunteer hours as well.
Thank you. Believe me, it's my pleasure. I really enjoy being mayor of Salem. It's a great community to represent.
Good. You know, it's hard to see if you have not met the mayor, Chuck Bennett. Even when he's frustrated, he's a good-natured person. I've seen you a little peeved. I think once or twice you've been peeved at me and frustrated at people or policy or situations, but you're still taking it in stride with a good humor in life and not going to the spikes of emotionalism. I personally appreciate because one of my many flaws is I'm pragmatic to a fault where I don't get emotional about things that people are emotional about.
Yeah.
And does it make sense or does not make sense? So I appreciate that about your personality. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks.
Couple things we're going to talk about in upcoming weeks, though. The impact of PERS, it's in the newspaper today.
Okay.
And they reference the school districts. So we'll give you some time to think about that in terms of how many dollars. I mean, and when I give the private sector numbers, because I've done actually in my career, have put together retirement plans for businesses.
Right.
So, and how that compares and what's going to happen in the PERS impact, and also urban renewal, which is critically important. And we've got to go. We got
to
say bye-bye.
Well,
thanks for being here, Mayor
you.
Chuck Bennett. Be there on Monday, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.